Please take your Bibles now and turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Job, chapter 23. In Job 23, this believer is still trying to figure out the reason for his sufferings. He's been assaulted by his friends because they believe it's some great sin that has brought on this suffering. And Job's greatest desire is that he might have an opportunity to talk to God and present his case to the Lord. Let's read here in Job 23, verses 1 to 10. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know that he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." As we continue to think about the issue of beholding our Lord Jesus Christ and his glory by faith, there is a spiritual reality that we have to come to grips with. And that reality is the experience of the believer when he finds Christ hiding himself from him. Now, the difficulty is obvious. If we're seeking after the Lord Jesus, and the desire of our heart is by faith to behold him in his glory and better understand his great work for us, and he is hiding himself from us, how are we supposed to attain this desired goal? Well, this could be known as an inconvenient truth. It's certainly not a popular truth among Christians today. In evangelical circles, I could say, for the most part, that it's totally unknown. I remember growing up in my church myself, and I never heard of this truth that Christ might hide himself from you. Well, if salvation is coming to Christ to be rescued from our sins, and he promises to be a friend who sticks closer than a brother, how could it be that he would ever hide himself from us? So we begin by asking this truth. Is this a biblical truth that Christ at times hides himself from his people? Well, there is plenty of evidence in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is sometimes pleased in his sovereign wisdom to hide himself from his people. Now, that is one of the complaints that we've just read from the book of James, as he struggled to deal with the trials that had come into his life. He said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him." Job wanted to get to God. That was the greatest desire of his heart. And God is hiding from him. Through the prophet Isaiah, God's people complained, "Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior." The psalmist speaks out with similar words in Psalm 89. He's recounting the great mercies of the Lord and how God in his past in the past, time after time, had helped his people. But right now, while the psalmist was speaking of their experience, they were knowing trouble. And he says, "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire?" They needed God. They were crying out to God. And he seemed to be nowhere to be found. The inspired romantic poem of the Song of Solomon, which is a gold mine of illustration concerning the relationship of Christ to his church, utters the same complaint. Here's the wife speaking. "On my bed by night I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him but found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. And she asked them, 'Have you seen him whom my soul loves?'" These complaints are an accurate representation of what is often the experience of Christians. It's not that they have given up faith in the Lord Jesus. They still believe the same things about him. They haven't given up using the names and the means that God has appointed. But those means often seem cold and lifeless to them. They read the Bible and they just seem to be getting no benefit for their souls. They're praying, but where is God? He doesn't seem to be out there. They're not enjoying glorious sights of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. They may hear of other saints who are profiting in their relationship with the Savior. Maybe under the ministry of God's word, they hear others being greatly blessed, and yet their own souls feel dry and lifeless. Christ seems to be absent from their daily experience. It is as if the Savior is hiding himself from them. So there's much support for this experience, understanding it at least, from the Word of God. Now we ask the question secondly, why? Why would Christ hide himself from his people? Why would he allow us to go through these various experiences that we've referred to briefly of God's people crying out and God just doesn't seem to be there? If beholding Christ and basking in the light of his glory is part of the pinnacle of our spiritual experience, why would Christ hide us from this and prevent this experience? Well, a careful search of Scripture will reveal many reasons. It might be sin in our lives. The Bible tells us plainly, sin always separates us from our God. It might be the result of our dull and lazy spirituality. It is truly a great offense to our Savior when we prize him so poorly in the midst of life's busyness. Though there may be many reasons, I only want us to think of one this morning. Christ often hides himself from his people to increase our longing after him. Christ often hides himself from his people to increase our longing after him. In each of the passages I've referred to and read from this morning, to the effect of God hiding himself from his people, the impact on them is stirring them up to cry out to him and seek him all the more. They come with holy desires, expressing that they want to enjoy the presence of God again in their lives. They complain about it to God, and they ask him that this might be something in the past, and that they might enjoy again the benefit of his presence with them. All of these people in their experience of God hiding himself from them, it served to revive their spiritual longings after God. When you have known sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, there is nothing worse in this life than losing that. Many other things can be more easily endured, but to lose the sense of Christ's smile, that peace that guards our way through life, our joy in the Lord, our sense of blessing under his word, the glorious sight of our Savior by faith, this is a great loss that will serve to bring us to cry out to him, to know again the experience of the light of his presence in our lives. God, through the prophet Hosea, said this about his dealings with Israel in a similar situation. God says, "I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me." God knew that his withdrawal would bring great misery into the lives of his people, but he was willing to do that in order to stir up within them this diligent seeking after a renewed fellowship with the Lord. We read earlier about the wife in the Song of Solomon, distressed that she had lost her husband, and she's seeking after him. Where has he gone? Listen to the follow-up. "The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go." That's Christ's purpose. When you go through a time like this, when it seems like he's absent from your life, and you know that to behold him in his glory by faith is the most wonderful thing, and yet, try as you may, use the means, where is he? He's stirring us up that we would seek after him and cry out to him and express with longings from our heart, "Oh Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I want the smile of your presence. I want to be able to gaze upon you with faith, not merely to think through the truths of your great redemption, but as I think through those truths, think upon you in your work for me, obeying everything for me, dying on the cross for me, shedding your blood for me, rising from the grave for me, reigning in heaven for me. Oh, I want my heart filled with love and joy and peace in your presence." May we be like this light wife in the Song of Solomon. "When I found him whom my soul loves, I held him and would not let him go." Here's another one of the means that God has given to us this morning. To come to this table, to take some bread, to take a cup of juice, and to use these elements to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be the cry of our hearts that by the help of the Spirit, we'll see past the elements and we behold our Savior and we'll rejoice that the Lord Jesus has loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge these kind of experiences in our lives. We know that we often don't understand them, what the reason for them is. But whenever it happens, whenever it seems that Christ is absent from our lives, May it be blessed by your grace, by the working of your Spirit, to stir within us greater longings for the Lord Jesus. Use this time this morning, our God, both your word and our gathering at this table, that we might draw near to our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and might rejoice that he is our Savior and our friend. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.
Let's now take our